I'm Ed the Sock, and this is FU Politics on Fun, the FU Network, powered by your support on Patreon.com, P-A-T-R-E-O-N, Patreon.com/FU Network TV, and through PayPal at FUNetworkTV@gmail.com. And now, here's your show.
Now, let's listen.
For he's a jolly good fellow, for he's a jolly good fellow, for he's a jolly good fellow, let's all say on the bus.
Hello and welcome to Mensplaining. If you're new to this program and you're outraged because Mensplaining? What kind of name is that for a show? Calm down. This is not a show where men get together and mansplain. Mansplaining, as I understand it, as I take it, is when a man explains to a woman what a woman's experience is. Anything other than that is just plain patronization, and men do that to men all the time. But today, mansplaining, our program, is men talking to men about how to be the best men we can be in a rapidly changing world. So this is not an anti-feminist screed. This is not a men's rights screed. This is guys, normal human beings, normal guys, everyday guys, talking about various topics that most often your average guy doesn't get asked about. Usually it's pundits and so on, and they talk about their world, which is not our world. We're talking about our world. Our world is your world. And today we have a great panel and a great topic. And before I introduce the panel, I'm going to turn it over to Hafiz Narani, who is the producer of this show, to tell us the topic. Hafiz?
Oh, thank you. Well, today's topic, we're going to deal with body issues. You know, body issues is something that we often hear mostly come about from the world of feminism and the world of women in the modern world. But what about men? We aren't alone in this. We aren't. When you think into what
Wait, we lost
men,
your mic there.
You lost my mic there?
Yeah, for a second. You said we aren't alone in this. And then it sounded like someone was strangling you.
We aren't alone in this. We aren't, you know, left out of this conversation, but we on purpose. We choose to be out of this conversation. In the world of body image, men have always had this thing about what is the ideal man. But now, as we've always explored on mansplaining, these things are changing. So when it comes to men, what are our body issues? Are we susceptible to them just like women are? What are the archetypes that we have for an ideal body image? And how do we hold body image against each other as men?
Well, is the show over now? Did that take up the whole show?
Okay, that's one of our that's one of our panelists today. We'll get to him.
Why don't you just introduce me now? They heard.
Well, I'm hosting and you're not this time. All right. We've got with us now Hafiz Narani, who you just heard, is our producer as well as a very skilled digital consultant and an analyst out in Vancouver. We've got, of course, the indomitable Andrew Willis of Andy Land Radio.
What was that?
Was that like an attempt at like audience applause?
No, I'm just blowing my nose.
Can you do that away from the microphone next time?
Sorry.
Great. The guy's going to have snot all over his mic the whole show. So thank you for joining us, Andy.
Thanks for having me.
Wipe that mic off.
Aaron Seal is joining us. Aaron most recently attempted to run as a candidate for the Federal Conservative Party to try to turn that party away from social conservatism and more to political conservatism, which is what 3/4 of Canadians, they rejected social conservatism. So one of the many stalwart voices who is interested in seeing that party actually win from within that party and recognizes social conservatism has been a loser twice in a row. Aaron is continues to be an entrepreneur and political commentator, and we've not heard the last of him. And also joining us is the former host of this show. He's a Canadian icon. Is that in a nickel? Ed the Sock is joining us, and I hope he behaves. How have I been so far? I hope it gets better. All right, let's start. We're talking about body image, and body image is certainly something that really plagues women. And, you know, it leads to eating disorders. It leads to other disorders because of insecurity. There's ads all over the place telling women that they're not good enough as they are. They have to buy this product or else they're not good enough. Women are very harsh on other women, on what they wear, on how they use their makeup. The negative body image or messages of negative body imaging has been an especially destructive force against women starting as young as, you know, as soon as they're able to perceive the world and building up. So we're not taken away from that, nor are we denying that that's a factor and that that needs to be addressed. And thankfully is being addressed, though it's far from solved. But there's also the issue of male body image, because there is a message to men from media about what men should look like. Now, the envelope is much wider, because as we've mentioned on this show in the past, it is almost a trope on sitcoms, for example, that you have the male figure, of the couple, the male-female couple, who can be a slob, who can be a boob, stupid, childlike, but out of shape. Sometimes they make a joke out of the fact that the person's trying to exercise. That's the plot for one episode. Then they give it up, and the spokesmodel quality wife that he's married to loves him just the same. So we don't have the same pressures to be perfect. And men certainly don't jump down on other men unless you're talking about those guys at the gym. Oh, you mean those douchebags who walk around flexing their pecs and oiling themselves and then looking at you saying, huh, lifting 100, benching 100, I can do 300. Good for you. Take your little penis and go over there and let me frickin' exercise. Okay, there's that. let's go around the horn and get perspectives. I'll start with Hafiz. Hafiz, have you felt, male body image issues, especially as we get older, our metabolism slow down and we no longer burn off calories the way we used to?
I was a fat kid. I've always, not felt it. It's hard
to get on with it, Porky.
Well, look, I've always had it thrown at my face. It's never actually mattered to me. But it does exist. I mean, especially in high school when you're growing up and you're not the athletic kid in phys ed class, you're used to getting picked close to the last end, right? It is a real factor. But I think
did it affect your sense of value as a guy when you were, you know, the last picked in the, because men are all seen as, you know, we were depicted as these physical creatures. And good, you know, athletes, male athletes, boy, they're gods.
It made me value team sports less and be less participant when I was in those sports. So, like, you know, if you picked me last and you were a dick about it, I was less likely to help the team and maybe not play ball properly. You know what I mean?
Let's face it, with your physique, you were less likely to help the team anyway.
Hey, I'd make a great goalie.
Yeah, you'd be a great goalie. You'd fill it out. And by the way, were you fat or were you just, as the Yiddish term is zuftig, which means
I was fucking fat, man. Like,
oh, you were fat. Okay.
I don't like to pretend that there's another term for it or anything.
Well,
like
we
that.
Have there are different body types out there, and some body types are built rounder than others, and it doesn't mean that they're fat. It means that that's their body type.
The skeletal structure is the same in every human. At the end of the day, there's no bigger body skeleton or anything like that.
There are different body types. Come on, you know, you look like people don't all look the same, and
no,
it's not just a result
not.
Of diet. I mean, there are different heights and weights and bone density and things like but that.
Hey, he's saying he was fat. Just leave him be.
All right. Okay. Aaron Seal, body image issues. Have you noticed any as you've gotten older? Have you become more aware of, you know, I think it happens more to men. There's a period when you're like, you know, in your late teens when you want to look cool and macho for the chicks. And then that sort of passes. And then you get to your 30s, your 40s, and you start seeing signs of aging. And that's when you start to think, what happened to that skinny kid, other than Hafiz, that, thin kid back from the teen days. You experienced anything like that, Aaron?
Well, I certainly had an arc of my own. I was certainly the skinny brown kid growing up who couldn't put on a pound to save his life. And then in my 20s, I actually got rather fat. And I think I was clinically obese at one point. And then I got into the yoga and that slimmed me down. So I've experienced the weight issue from every perspective. And I know what it's like walking down the street for a guy when you know you don't look the part, where you don't look like what societal expectations of the strong, sort of fully self-actualized man looks like. And I also know what it's like to see it from the other perspective. But I think more interesting for me is I approach the question of self-worth and body image from a racial perspective. And I think that the words that you said, slob, boob, childlike, my bias is the expectations are more forgiving for some men in certain ways, because whether you're overweight or whether you keep yourself unkempt, you have old clothes, you don't take care of yourself, men are sort of given more leeway on those types of things than women. But if you've experienced prejudice, and it doesn't matter if it's based on your ethnicity or your sexuality or whatnot, some of those more forgiving elements don't apply anymore. So we can talk about that in a variety of directions. So I think some men definitely have it easier for women, but a lot of men don't for a variety of reasons.
Okay. Andy Willis. I know that in my limited experience, I mean, I've been in the entertainment industry for 30 odd years, met many, you know, met and worked with many gay guys. And there is
they
a subculture. Well, I guess they wanted to, but there are subcultures within that, especially younger, where they're very, very vain. It's very about how they look. So I think that perhaps the gay community, the male gay community, could probably speak to this. It could have a topic about this on their own their own panel. But do you you've talked on this show before about, you know, you've been self-deprecating, saying that you're fat and so on, and I don't even believe it. But have you experienced this, and is it different being a gay man? Are the expectations of other men different than women's expectations for men?
I don't know if they are. Well, okay, maybe the framework is similar to women, because, like, as a gay male, right? Like, when, like, I remember being like 16 and being like, dude, every guy wants to fuck me. And the whole thing was like, I was like, okay, remember that, because when you get older, it's not going to be that way. You're just going to be like another old dude. So
you weren't at Jeffrey Epstein's place, were you?
I was, and it was fabulous.
Yeah, were you, did you have some lunch with Kevin Spacey?
No, I didn't.
He was the lunch.
He definitely would have been eating what I would have been selling, I'll tell you that.
But, okay, all right. Sorry to have Ed interrupt you. Please continue.
But what I can say is that, definitely when I was younger, like, I was like 6'1", 128 pounds. Like, I nearly had a collapsed lung. My doctor was like, you're so skinny. And literally, like, life was a ball. But then, of course, you hit your 20s and things change. And then you get depressed and you fucking blow out your MasterCards. And so you eat more food and you're just like, man, life sucks. And then you kind of put on the weight. And that's the thing, is that, like, in the gay community, it's like when you're skinny, okay, if you're going to get bigger, you got to get muscular. You can't get fatter. So I got fatter. But all I can say is that, like, I'm not, like, morbidly obese. I never have been. But definitely, I would say that, yeah, it's kind of similar to women. It's like, as you get older, it's like you want to stay fit. You don't want to turn into, like, a fat mom who, like, belly is distended and shit. And that's kind of like the... That's kind of like the feel and the vibe that, like, men and gay men and women kind of feel, I would say.
So you say that gay men and women have something in common in the sense of their feelings about their body image and inadequacy.
No. And this is where, okay, we're similar, yes, but different in the way that women get shit from straight men, gay men, and other women, whereas gay men only get shit from other gay men. Like, I don't feel like women have looked at me and been like, ooh, he's fat. Or, like, straight men have looked at me and been like, ooh, he's fat. Because they don't want a piece of me in some way. It's just only been, like, gay dudes have treated me like shit.
Well, that's not true. The straight women that have looked at you have not looked at you and cared about your weight because they want you to be their gay best friend.
Yeah, probably.
Women love gay best friends. They don't care what size you are.
Exactly. So, you know, I mean, there you go.
Stereotype we just reinforced. Thanks, Ed. Okay. I guess I'll, you know what, I'm not going to go to Ed next. I'll go to me next. As somebody who was always shorter than the average and never felt bad about that, never wanted to be taller. I remember at one point when I was younger, my mother took me to the doctor because there was some kind of shot that had been developed that could give a boost to your growth, but your bones in your wrist had to not have gotten so close. Like that indicates a certain thing as far as whether you're going to be able to grow properly or not. And I was like, I don't want to go to the, what do I need a shot for? I don't have anything wrong with me. I've always been quite happy with being not tall, never more so than when I'm on an airplane and I have leg room and the guy next to me has his knees in his ears.
How tall are you? Like in
five,
feet?
5'2".
Okay.
All right. Never had a problem.
My brother's 5'3".
Okay. So I'd have to look up to him. I've never had a problem with women in any age. And if you know who my wife is and you've seen pictures of her on the internet, you recognize that
bombshell.
I've not had problem with attracting women. But I was always a skinny kid. I was always very slim and I had hair. And at a certain point in time, the hair started to just recede and recede and recede. And you know what? I tried the Rogaine and shit like that at the time, trying to delay the inevitable, which is genetics. And I kept, my dad, God bless him, still has what one of my cousins when she was young used to call lift up hair. Because he, you know, the comb forward, the comb over, which, you know, the wind lifts up and drops down. And that's the way many men were. And then it became fashionable to just, you know, shave your head, or to buzz it and so on. And my wife finally said to me, enough, just buzz your head. It still is odd for me to look in the mirror and see, you know, that I still have an image of myself when I looked in the mirror when I had hair. Yet people who have met me, you know, in the last 20 years, who see pictures of me from when I was younger, say, you look weird with hair. But there's also the having always seen myself as sort of a slim kid, a skinny kid who could never gain a pound, as Aaron was saying. And then about 10 years ago, somebody pointed out to me that I was getting a little bit of a belly and I didn't even notice it. And I was like, ah, come on. And then as I've gotten older, metabolism has slowed. I can't eat every single type of candy that I want, and I'm big on carbs. I love bread and bagels and things like that. And I've had to start watching that and become aware of, personal appearance. And it still does, you know, there are times I'm like, well, can I just get rid of this little bit of the little middle-aged spread thing? Even though I'm built exactly like my dad, it doesn't affect my, at times I think it does affect my confidence. I think my confidence was never affected by being shorter, but there was a time when it was affected by not having that perfect, you know, Fabio head of hair. And then every now and again, it gets affected by, you know, sucking that gut, which I don't have a giant gut.
If you could have a hairstyle, what would it be?
A mohawk.
You do a mohawk.
No. He's being sarcastic. You can't pick that up, Freddie.
I'm just asking if you could have the option of having a hairstyle. What would it be?
Why are we talking
Ashkenazi
about...
Ashkenazi afro.
Yeah.
Afro. Yes. I think afro would work best.
My hair actually, when I was about 14, 15, my hair actually went really curly for about a year and a half. I don't know what that... And I'm not talking about gaining pubic hair. I'm talking about the hair on my head. you know what? There's times when I'm out with guys who are in, you know, good shape and I'm at business meetings and stuff and they're all clearly guys who go to the gym and shit like that. And I have exercise equipment in my home that my wife uses, but I don't. There are times when body image does affect me and affect my confidence in certain interactions, I'll be honest. And I recognize it's doing that. And I say, well, what the hell am I worrying about? But we live in such a society that puts such a premium on looks that it's very difficult not to. And while the pressure on women is really strong, the pressure on men to, you know, there's certain qualities that make you a babe. It's there. And we focus a lot on women, as we should, but there's not enough of a focus on the messages, the media messages that men give. And also the media message of, you know, what about Jim with Jim Belushi married to a beautiful woman, which says you can let yourself go and still get, you know, the prom queen. That's not a good message either. I would say, oh, you don't think so, genius? Yeah, I don't think so. Ed, do you have any body images? Well, I got no arms and no legs. But I got a foot. You get that? I got no arms and no legs, but I got a foot. Yeah, yeah. That joke, you can carbon date that joke. I think that Louis Leakey dug that joke up in the Olduvai Gorge. None of you have any idea what I'm talking about because none of you follow anthropology or archaeology enough. But that's the failure of our school system. And another topic altogether. But do I have body image issues? No, because my personality is who I am. And people care about what I say and how I say it. And they're not looking at me to be an Adonis, even though I think that, quite frankly, for people of my ethnicity, sock puppets, I am quite buff. I care more about my personality and being honest and people judging me on that than I give a shit about them caring about me, how I look. Okay, that's easy for you to say because you're not human. You're a television legend or whatever the hell. And so you're judged by a very different paradigm. So why the hell did you ask me? Let's move on to media messaging and how we're affected by it. I want to ask first, Aaron, are you aware of messaging to men that tells us that there is a male body ideal and that can make you feel less perfect, less masculine, less confident?
Absolutely. And like I sort of approach that from a business perspective. It's about personal branding. And there are certain boxes that media and basically social custom say are acceptable and some that are not. So I think that's an example of AFK Erica, you know, the perfect cut, perfectly polished, every hair in its right place with the part in the middle. For somebody who is, frankly, not white, you compare it to like the Colin Kaepernick afro, or for Indian men, the sort of curly hair, the sort of more rough and ready type look. If you don't look the part, that is held against you in the same way that for a woman, whether it be about attire choices or whether it be about weight or whether it be about makeup, for men, there is definitely a norm, whether it be about the haircut or the suit or even most basic things about personal hygiene, like we talk about brown person smell, that is held against you. So whether it comes from media or whether it comes from custom or anywhere else, absolutely, there are expectations and there are consequences if you don't meet them, whether or not that is your choice or whether or not that's just the nature of yourself.
Now, do you feel yourself as a brown person, a person of color, whatever you want to call yourself or you're comfortable with, do you feel that pressure to try to attain the white male ideal in some ways, the same way, you know, some black men and women, they'll straighten their hair and lighten their skin to try to approach that whiteness, white archetype of a man. Do you feel that you judge yourself against that and find yourself wanting?
This was the core of the story of my depression, both the 10 years it was latent and the years in which it was severe. They all share with you. It doesn't bother me to say it. A lot of people know the most destructive relationship of my life ended out of nowhere, where the woman involved said the words as her justification, short brown boy. And that hung over my head for the duration of my adult life, for the 15 years that followed. And I had to make peace with that reality. So
out of hell with her. Aaron, you know what? You're better off. You don't want to be, guys. You don't want to be with a woman who judges you based on that and who would say that out loud. She did you a damned favor because she was shallow as shit, and you deserve somebody who's got more substance and a little bit more compassion than that. And same applies to women. Women, if you're with a guy who says, you know what, I don't think your boobs are big enough, you should get bigger boobs, drop the biggest boob you're with is the guy who says that. Drop him. Because as I've always said, the best breast enlargement is sit closer. And if you're the guy you're with sees some kind of imperfection in your body and wants you to have plastic surgery, kick him to the curb and wait 5 minutes. You'll find 10 other guys who find you very attractive as you are.
You are factually correct, Mr. Salk. It takes a long time for that message to become emotional reality, but you are 100% right.
How long were you with this woman?
Not very long formally, but there were several years of off and on that followed.
Okay, so it wasn't a short-term thing.
It wasn't short.
But it hurt.
It hurt very badly.
Yeah, okay.
Whatever, her tits were small, probably, and her pussy stank.
Let's just leave her out of it.
That's the story I'm telling everybody. So
wait a second. Why do you need me here if you have Andy? Even I wouldn't have said something like that.
Andy, you have like this 1-800 number where Andy, you call and Andy gives you a burn for whoever is hurting you the most. That was
the license to say things as a puppet is superseded by the license to say things as a young gay man.
We need a puppet, Andy, because then with your two powers combined.
We don't need a puppet, Andy. We've got Andy as Andy.
Hey, I'm used to a hand up my ass, so there you go.
Yeah, there we go. I wasn't going to go there. I had the moment thought and said no, and there's Andy. Hafiz, as a person of color, did you ever? You started out as a Zuftig person, but have you ever looked at the white ideal and judged yourself against that male Adonis? I mean, one of our panel members, one of our regular bullpen panelists, Paul Marlowe, is what you would look at as a sort of a male Adonis. His height, his build, his attractive.
I would not say so.
Okay. Okay. I would just say.
Actually, Paul Marlowe was my personal trainer 2 years ago and helped me get my body back in shape to at least a level where, you know, I can participate in activities and whatnot and be physically active outside. And he was a huge help. In university, I lost a shit ton of weight, and you know, I gained a little bit swagger there too. It really helped with my personality in terms of helping it.
Your sense of confidence?
Yes, absolutely. Yes, I think that was a great time to be active and whatnot. And would it say it was a white archetype? Well, the fact is, media presents me the white image mainly, and you know, the black image as well. But at the end of the day, it's just to me, it's a physical male body. And I mean, if I look at what the cultural message is, it's from India, it's sort of the same message with just a darker body, right?
Yes.
Interesting. You know, it's in movies and in TV, the round brown guy is represented, but almost always as comic relief.
That's why I'm here.
Yeah. Well, no, what the hell am I here for? listen, as far as I'm concerned, I should just go away and leave Andy. I give him the Ed the Sock chair for carrying on, like saying things even I wouldn't. Okay. Have I ever compared myself to the white ideal? I suppose there are times that you look at it and say that, and then I say, I recognize that I've advanced, I think, in my life because I don't look like everybody else. I do, you know, being short, and when you're achievement oriented, people say you have a Napoleonic complex. Okay, here's two things. One, Napoleon for his time was not short. Okay, he was average height. Secondly, when men of average height are ambitious, no one gives it a term other than ambition. But when you're of less than average height, it's a Napoleonic complex, and which is just complete bullshit. You know, it's just, no, I just have the same drive to achieve as somebody who's taller than me. I have no interest in being Napoleon. But, you know, when I was younger, there was the, you know, looking at not just from the body type thing. And this is when I was skinny and couldn't put on muscle to save my life, even with those protein powder, horrible, shitty shakes that I would eat. But you look at the WASPy model, you know, the non-ethnic.
Yes.
And you look at that, and I was like, I'll never be that. But that was seen as the ideal for males was the tall, you know, attractive, white Anglo-Saxon Protestant looking person. In subsequent years, we've seen men of various skin types and bone structures and from various parts of the world and ethnicities be seen as attractive. Unfortunately, they all tend to be, they have the, you know, take the, from the neck up is different, but from the neck down, the body is the same. But I think sometimes you can't help but feel we're being presented with these images of these good looking white guys. And you can't help but think that at times, well, I'm not that. And you have two choices. You can either say, I'm not like that, and I'm glad because I don't want to be just another mannequin. Or you can say that, you know, I'm upset that I'll never be that. And which is a completely unhealthy way to go. And I mentioned earlier that it really never affected my confidence with approaching women. I guess because I had a sense of humor. And women are not anywhere near as shallow as men. Women's insecurities play themselves out differently than men's do. And women are much smarter in the sense that they really are more interested in who the guy is than, or the other woman is if they're lesbian, but they're more interested in the personality and somebody making them laugh and feel good than they are with being their arm candy. I mean, they're more mature in that respect. So guys have it a lot easier than women do. But I wonder, Hafiz, if you ever felt the sort of insecure about approaching, you know, that whole idea that, oh, that girl's out of my league, you know, because you're not that ideal that the media feeds us about men.
Look, that did play a role in my mind probably when I was younger, in high school and whatnot. But after a while, you kind of realize that even the guys that do look the type are complete fucking chotches. And when it comes to...
Wait, what's that term?
A complete chotch.
Chotch, what's a... is this like Johnny Loves Chachi? Is this Scott Baio?
Or is Chachi? Like, that's what it is. He's a complete chotch.
Wait, I've never heard this. Wait, I'm excited. Hold on. This is a new insult term. Chotch?
Yeah, completely chotch.
Is this something that comes from your ethnic heritage background, or is this...
Yes, we're all fans of Happy Days in India.
No, that's not... Hey, come on, Chachi was seen as cool back then.
No. Wait, Chachi was seen as cool?
Well, I at some point, Chachi was seen as
never.
Cool.
No, never.
Well, that's a topic. We need to do a men's planning about, was Chachi cool?
He's complete chotch. I don't know.
I just want to go around the horn here. Okay. Andy, ever heard the term chotch?
Absolutely. Chotch is like, I mean, come on. You're on TV roasting chotches, like, for most of the aughts, like LFO and shit. Like, come on.
I never heard the term chotch. Aaron, chotch? Chotch, have you heard that?
Talking about.
What's that?
I know Happy Days, I know the character, but I have never used the term in this context.
Have you ever heard anybody criticize someone and say they're a chotch?
Never.
Yeah, like anyone who wears like Abercrombie and Fitch and shit like that, like of course, like yeah.
I get it, I hear it, I understand it now, but I have never heard it before an hour ago.
I'm very excited, I've got something new to add to my arsenal. Okay, sorry to interrupt. Actually, you're not. No, I'm not. Okay, sorry, Hafiz, go on. You're talking about how these guys were complete chotches.
Well, look, when it comes down to it, I found that if I use my personality, use my ability to talk to people and my, you know, my charm where I can actually carry on a conversation as well as humor, I did really well.
Yeah, well, I was going to say this is for women, that women are very much attracted to men who seem confident, not overconfident, not arrogant, but just quietly confident. But I believe that that's also true, that men are attracted to women who are confident, regardless of how they look, regardless of what their weight is. Women who are comfortable with themselves become much more attractive than women who are very clearly shaky and insecure. I think that's something that both genders, sexes share in common. Aaron, how about you? Have you ever felt there's women who are just out of your league because you don't look like a Ken doll?
Well, I think it's interesting you use the word confidence, saying women are attracted to confident. And in my mind, the struggle that I've had is there's almost two purposes to a relationship. One is who women actually want to be with. And secondly, what type of partner allows them to fit the role in society. So women are attracted to confidence. And I put that under a heading of women are attracted to interesting, of which confidence is one part. But where it sort of breaks apart is the gap between the man that a straight woman will be interested in being with in private time, but if that man doesn't fit the archetype of what the social circle wants, then that's a problem. And that leads to the woman questioning her own identity in the context of the relationship and casting doubt on the relationship. And it's the second part, when you ask, have I felt pressure to sort of fit norms? It's never really been in terms of what any given potential or partner has wanted herself, but it's been in dealing with the breakdown when the woman introduces me, especially in interracial partnerships, if the circle of friends disapproves, that's a harder problem for me, the man, to get over. And I've felt problems from that perspective.
Hey, any woman or man who cares more about what their circle of friends thinks, fuck them. Because you want to be with an individual, not somebody who bends to peer pressure and wants approval of these people who are probably inner douchebags themselves.
You are wise, Mr. Sock. You are wise.
Well, it comes with getting old and being bitter. And if you wonder why I'm bitter, nothing particularly happened in my life that made me bitter. I just have an allergy to stupid, and I'm having anaphylactic shock lately. I'll turn it back to Kersner. That was very courteous of you. So do you feel, guys, that it is a problem that we're still getting, that while there's attention on showing what do they call them, plus size models as attractive for you know, as women and so on. And we're trying to show, you know, in the media, different types and different ethnicities and different body types as being attractive and worthy of your attention and worthy of consideration as human beings, and that women are more than just their looks. Do you feel that anybody in the general public has caught into the fact that there are messages which are very detrimental to men, and B, if so, are they doing anything about it? What do you think, Hafiz?
Are they doing anything about it? Well, look, we're...
Are they recognizing it? Do you think that it's recognized yet as a problem that men are also receiving messages about body image, about how they should look and what the ideal look is, and that it's having a negative effect upon men? Do you feel that that's being recognized, or if it is, recognized as a problem?
I don't think it's recognized as a problem to the same degree as it is with women, but I think it's really different because the messaging for men isn't always as apparent as the messaging for women. The messaging on how we should look is kind of like this ideal that's put up there, and it's seen as this thing that you want to be, whereas with women, it's seen as this thing that you have to be, I think.
That's really well put. Wow, yeah, she said something that was wise. Like a broken clock is right twice a day.
Every now and then, you know, I put the bong down and I come up with a word of wisdom too.
But that is a good point. The pressure on men is this is a nice to have as far as a certain look or body type, where with women, it's a must have.
This is what you have to be.
Yeah, the messages are you must have.
If you don't look like Barbie, if you don't have these lips, if you don't have these tits, you're less worthy. Whereas with men, it's like, until you reach this level, you're not the best, which is completely different because it says like, hey, you know what? If you're just like a half good looking schmo that's getting by, you're all right. Whereas with women, that's like you're invisible.
That is an interesting point, that it is an imperative for women and not so for men. If this is for the women who listen to the show, and I know there are women who listen to the show because they want to understand men more, and why not? Just like I encourage men to listen to Hey Ladies on FU Politics, because that's the very same tone as this show, but it's women talking to women honestly, with the way women honestly talk to women, not the very polite, genteel way, ladylike way you'll see on so many female panel shows. It's honesty, and it's funny as hell, but the topics can get really intense, just like us on this show. The point I was going to make is that women, if you think that men only like one kind of woman, that there's one ideal, and I've said this before and I'll say it again, just go look at internet porn sites. There are so many specialties of, you know, you'll find heavy women, black women, Indian women, Pakistani women, women in hijabs, women with large feet, plus size women, very, very plus size women. You'll find so many types of porn out there, and that wouldn't be there unless men liked various types of women and don't all fall over themselves for this one, you know, blonde, beautiful ideal of a woman. That there is no such thing as the ideal woman that is the ideal woman for all men. So don't count yourself out because, listen, I know guys, they like women, their women much bigger. They find that more attractive. Some cultures find that more attractive. Don't count yourself out. Because if there's a secret you should know about men, it's that we're always trying to rule a woman in, not rule her out. If there's a part of her that we find less attractive, then we look for another part on their body that we find attractive. Because we're always trying to rule the woman in, not rule the woman out. And Aaron, Hafiz, as heterosexual men, would you agree with that?
Yes.
I would very much agree with that.
All right.
Very much agree with that.
Is it different, Andy, in the gay community?
No, I think it's true. I think it should be. People just need to love each other and have lots of sex.
With Andy.
Well, sure.
Okay. Interesting conversation. And I'll tell you that there will be women and some men who will see the topic of this conversation. There's going to be women who are going to say, what are you talking about men's body image for? The real problem is women's body image. And right off the bat, we said that is really a factor. But asking why a show called Mensplaining, where men are talking to men honestly about things, is talking about male body image instead of female body image, even though we did mention that, it's not the subject of the program or the focus of the program. And while the pressure on women, as very eloquently put by Hafiz, imagine that, the pressure on women is an imperative, and on men it is a nice to have. We're not comparing, we don't need to compare the problems and decide that one is more important than the other, therefore doesn't deserve any attention. This is still an issue, and I think, I hope, as society continues to mature and we are better to women, men will start to get the attention of, okay, there's messaging and stuff like that for men that's toxic to them, and it leads to some toxic male behavior as well. So thank you all for joining us, except Ed. Hey, we've got Andy Willis, host of Andyland Radio on CIRT-FM, which is Wednesdays at 10:30 p.m. Pacific time, correct?
Yeah, Andyland Radio with Andrew Willis on CITR 101.9 FM every Wednesday, 10:30 Pacific, 12:30 Central.
Aaron Seal, a political commentator and entrepreneur, and I think somebody we're going to hear more from within the Conservative Party as more and more voices are saying, hey guys, Wouldn't it be nice if we were more in line with the rest of Canada? So
if our own house, if we were welcoming and so on and so forth. I will not stop talking.
Yeah, well, we hope you're on this show, on these shows more. You know, just be our translator for the conservative diaspora.
I would like nothing better. So as long as you guys are welcoming to me, I will be here as often as you guys want.
Well, you're always welcome. So, Aaron, thank you for joining us. Hafiz, another great show that you put together as our producer, and I'm not surprised because this show is carried digitally, and you are an authority on digital marketing, and,
and
that's why you're a consultant, and people should seek you out in Vancouver or wherever, because that's I mean, you've helped us, and I'm in Toronto.
Most of my clients are all across Canada. I specialize in helping people figure out why their business is not doing well online and figuring out real steps on fixing that so that people can actually find you.
People need that because there's a lot of shit out there and people don't know why it's not working.
Look, there's a lot of people that will take a lot of money from you then and not give you any results.
They're all publicists.
Are you right? There's no good publicists in Canada.
I fucking hate publicists.
There's a whole new world of the internet, and not many people understand how to use it properly. And once they do, they save themselves a shit ton of money.
Okay, well, they should look you up, Hafiz Narani, and you're on Twitter. You're at Feezy Does It. Yes. Andy is on at Andyland Radio.
You bet.
Okay.
Yeah.
And Aaron, it's just your name, at Aaron Seal.
But yes, aaronseal.ca for the politics, cfusion.ca for the business.
Okay. Okay. And Aaron is spelled with one A, like Elvis's deceased brother.
Yes. It's a beautifully ethnically ambiguous name.
That's, well said. And Ed the Sock, where can people find you? I don't want them finding me.
In the door.
There's enough... Okay, you shut the hell up with that comment, fatty. You can find
me
on... You know what? Can I mute this guy? You can find me at Ed the Sock on Twitter. You can find me on our Facebook page, which is Ed the Sock's Fund the FU Network, our Facebook page. I'm on Instagram, which is Ed_the_Sock. You can find me there. And from time to time, I'm on television. I'm always around, okay? Because I left for a decade thinking that I'd come back and find a world that had benefited from the wisdom that I had given it for years on Much Music and City TV. How to avoid being manipulated by the media, how to see through bullshit. And boy, was I ever wrong. So nobody else stood up in that time that I was away. So I'm back because... God knows somebody's got to do it, and this network is doing it. All right, well, thank you for that endorsement. And by the way, you cheapskate bastards out there who listen to this show week after week and don't give anything to Patreon or PayPal to help keep this show going, how do you look yourselves in the freaking mirror, okay? You got guys like Ezra Levant, that vampire who runs around constantly screaming about there's Muslims under your bed and they're going to make you have Sharia law, racist crap. And he gets like $2 million a year, all right, donated from, I guess, I don't know, these toothless white supremacists somehow have their money stored away. But if that, you want that to be what Canada's represented as on the internet, that piece of shit, that kind of programming, you should be, if you support programming that is honest and true, civil and funny and returns dialogues to the level of the common man and woman, so we can all understand it and participate in it. Just like Much Music succeeded when people could see themselves in at least one of the VJs or personalities on the channel and felt like they belonged. That's what this is all about. We're taking that space that was vacated when Much Music decided to just call itself Much and run South Park Rerun. So go to patreon.com. It's a monthly subscription. It starts at $1. You can't afford $1? Okay. There's some of you who can't. I feel for you. $5, whatever. It's monthly. And it's at Patreon, which is with an E, patreon.com/FU Network TV. And if you want to just give a one-time donation, like a dump
of a little bit of cash. That was attractive. Go to PayPal and do it at funetworktv@gmail.com. Okay? Help us keep this going. Our computers that do this stuff, they're constantly, like, they're running down. You know, they're breaking down. We need money for maintenance and stuff. Basic things. Sponsors in Canada, it's very hard to get any sponsors because most businesses don't even understand advertising. And they're just branch plants from the U.S. anyway.
Okay, well, thank you for saving me from having to say all that shit because I can't stand it. You're welcome.
If you donate $1 million, I will yell the N-word personally. If there's any racist out there that wants to donate $1 million, I will say the N-word personally.
Okay, but we're not saying he's going to say it on any show that's going to be played. He will say it.
I'll just scream outside of Parliament the N-word. How's that?
He'll call you personally and say the N-word. Okay, thank you. And thank you, Andy, for that sacrifice. that's it. This has been Mensplaining here on FU Politics, a division of FUN, the FU Network. Thank you for listening. For he's a jolly good fellow. For he's a jolly good fellow. For he's a jolly good fellow. Let's all say all of us. This is FUN, the FU Network.